I apologize already for my raspy voice. I know that can be hard to listen to sometimes. But I'm really excited about where God's going with us in this series and today, and hopefully it won't get in the way of anything for you. We have been looking at the Lord's Prayer as a model for our prayer, and not simply as a recitation. And we've been using it for a model to help to develop in us a burning heart for prayer, a real desire to connect to God and to pray to Him. And we've done that by looking at the different components of that prayer. We're moving to our fifth component of the prayer today. But before we talk about that, let me just kind of give us a refresher, a review of where we've been so far. The first four components of the Lord's Prayer all focus on putting God first as He should be first. We first acknowledge God as our Father, and that's acknowledging that really special relationship that we have to actually talk to the God of the universe. You know, I was reminded earlier in the early service with a song that Mike did there about the fact that God breathes into us. And one of the beautiful things to me is the creation account in Genesis, where it talks about God creating all the animals, all the world, everything else, and then He creates human being, He creates Adam. And what's very different about that creation of Adam is it says that he breathed His very breath into his nostrils. Out of the dirt He forms him, and then He breathed, the breath of God is breathed into the nostrils of man, of humankind. And friends, that just sets us apart as being different from anything else in God's creation. God didn't do that with a dog. He didn't do that with anything else that He created, only with human beings. Set us apart for this relationship. And now because of Jesus, we have this special privilege to go talk to God as our Father. Isn't that beautiful? It's beautiful. We next acknowledge His position. He's the Hallowed One. Hallowed be His name. We give praise. We give thanksgiving to God because of who He is, because of what He's done. And we acknowledge those things in our prayer. And then we pray for God's kingdom to come, and we're praying for that in our own lives individually. God, I want You to be the authority, the one that leads my life. I want to surrender my life to You. I want Your kingdom to come to me. We pray that for those who don't yet know Jesus, for those who are longing to know Him, that they would come to a place of seeing Him as a leader in their lives. And then we pray that as an overall for His second coming, when the King comes again, Jesus comes again, and all shall kneel before His name and call Him Lord and call Him Jesus. And then we pray for His will. Above our own preferences, we ask for His purposes, that His will is greater than what we want. And that's how we come to Him as we pray. So that's kind of where we've been in the first components of this model of the Lord's Prayer. And it's important to be reminded of those four components because they kind of set the basis, the base for the rest of this prayer as we talk about it. We focus on God first because that's what needs to come first. That's the beginning and the order of things. And then we begin to pray after that for things that actually involve us. So that's what we'll be talking about in these next weeks ahead and this morning. By simply jumping straight into our requests in life, we're acknowledging our trust and our allegiance to God first, as Him being the one worthy for us to place our trust in. And simply put, I'm going to acknowledge God's goodness, God's greatness, God's person, who God is, before I petition Him with my own request line. Does that make sense? It's at this point in the Lord's Prayer, friends, that we shift from just talking about God is to our own needs and to the needs of others. Now, I understand that there are probably some here today that are, you know, they're just ready for that. They're thinking, finally, I got so many things going on in my life right now. So many things happening, and I just need God's attention. I need to come to Him. I'm glad that we're moving to this part of asking because I've been praying and praying and praying, and I'm ready for some results. I believe that that's where some of us may be today. You know what? I sure understand that heart. I really do. And thankfully, that's exactly what God wants from us. He wants for us to come to Him and to ask. The fifth component of the Lord's Prayer is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, and it reads, "Give us today our daily bread." Jesus is telling us to pray for God's daily provision in our lives. God wants to meet your needs. He wants to meet my needs, and that's what we're going to focus on this morning. And as we prepare to do that, I just ask that you would you'd pray with me and for me today that God can share exactly what he needs to share in your heart and in mine. Let's pray. God, my voice is challenged this morning, and I know that, but my spirit is ready to go because I just know how important this daily asking prayer is for us. Jesus, I pray that you would speak to us today, that we'd hear you exactly where we're at, and that your speaking would move us to a new place with you. God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are three different factors that we need to look at when we talk about this praying for our daily bread. And before we kind of dissect this fifth component, we need to start with that first factor that underlies the others. When we're praying for our daily bread, we come directly to Jesus, and we're asking first to pray for his will like we talked about last week. See, it's a very important piece of this that we mentioned, that before we give our preferences, even before we start to ask for daily bread, we're going to say, God, I want your will first. That's got to be what happens in the first place. Before I say, this is what I want, regardless of what I want, God, I want what you want. So that's where we come. But then we come to this first factor. The first factor that we come to is the trust factor. As we ask for daily bread, we have the trust factor. If I'm going to ask God for my provisions in my life today, I first need to trust him that he's a loving parent who will only give me what's best for me, even if it's different than what I think I need, even if it's different from what I'm asking for, I'll trust him. A little later in the Sermon on the Mount, where the Lord's Prayer comes from in the Sermon on the Mount, a little later, this is detailed, this asking is detailed further. He first says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 8, he says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Here Jesus is detailing for us, friends, three aspects of this asking. First, by saying to ask. He's speaking about us having a humble consciousness of our own need. We understand we have real needs before God, and it's okay to ask them. Like a child coming to a parent in need, we come and we ask God. Second, he tells us to seek. He tells us to ask, then he tells us to seek. And he's saying that when we ask, then we take responsibility in ourselves to also to pursue in the asking what his will is. We don't just sit there and wait. We pursue a result. What is it that God's will is for me in this area that I'm asking? And then third is we knock. Jesus is speaking to a persevering kind of asking. Think of it like someone who comes knocking at the door trying to get your attention. And we come to God and we knock and we bring things to him. We keep bringing to him. God, I come to you again. God, I'm praying for that friend of mine, that friend who doesn't know you yet, who desperately needs to. God, I'm praying for my mother who's sick and she's growing sicker by the day. God, I pray for that job that I need so desperately. I'm trying and trying, but I haven't found one. But God, I'm going to keep knocking and I'm going to keep bringing this prayer to you. Over and over again. Friends, we come humbly, understanding our need, asking, we pursue his will and what we're asking, and then we knock in that asking. We keep petitioning, bringing it to God, waiting on him and what his will is. Jesus goes further in Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11, where he says, which of you, if his son asks for bread, gives him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, gives him a snake. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And then in Luke's version of this same account of Jesus, he adds another metaphor that Jesus uses. In Luke chapter 11, verse 12, adding onto this, he says, or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. Now, friends, when we first look at those metaphors that Jesus is using, they sound pretty strange, don't they? I mean, it just sounds a little bit crazy. A stone for bread, a snake for fish, a scorpion for an egg. But if we can, let's put on our Jesus period thinking caps for a moment, all right? See if you can go back some 2,000 years and put on that period of time to the crowd that Jesus is talking to and see if we can get a better perspective. He's speaking to them in Galilee, and near to Galilee is the Sea of Galilee. And you see, Jesus chooses his examples very carefully whenever he speaks. He doesn't just pull out a metaphor out of midair or a parable out of midair. It's going to connect to whatever the people around him know and experience. And he's doing that right now with these people when he talks about bread and fish and an egg. And in all these, he's talking about someone coming asking for provision. The son is asking for what? For food, for something to eat. Give me some bread. Give me a fish. Give me an egg. But in all of these, Jesus says that what instead is given from the Father and isn't the provision they need, but he gives something nasty. He gives a stone. He gives a snake. He gives a scorpion. Now, let's use our Jesus period thinking caps here to understand this. Believe it or not, Jesus' audience would have easily understood the correlation of what Jesus was saying to them with each of these. You see, in their area, there were these little round limestones on the seashore that were the exact size and the exact shape of a little piece of bread. And can't you just imagine Jesus standing there with one of these limestones in his hand and saying, who would do this? Who would have a son ask for a piece of bread and you give him this stone instead? It's like he's mocking them. They'd be mocking him to do that. That's what Jesus is saying. And then when Jesus talked about the father giving his son a snake instead of a fish, he's quite likely talking about an eel, because they would have considered the eel to be more of a serpent than a fish. And by their Jewish law, it was unclean to eat an eel because it had fins and scales. And I know that sounds ridiculous to us. That makes no sense to you and me, but it was the religious rule and they believed it. So they lived by it. And they wouldn't eat an eel as a fish. So again, Jesus is saying, it would be mockery if you asked for a fish and I give you this eel that you can't eat. It's mocking you to do that. When Jesus talked about the Father offering a scorpion instead of an egg, well, it was also, that would make sense to them too, because they had this pale kind of scorpion there that it would, when it would pull its claws and its tail and it would fold them in and underneath itself, it would almost look like an egg. Now, can you just imagine Jesus saying, would your father give you this egg and it's a scorpion? Would a father mock his son by giving him a stone or a fish or a scorpion that could harm him, potentially kill him when he's simply hungry? You see, no reasonable parent. Now, there are unreasonable parents out there, aren't there? Some really unreasonable ones that harm their children. But any, even just a reasonable parent, even a not so good parent, but a reasonable one, which one would not give their child the provision they need when they need it? Would not get them the food they need when they ask for it? If a child asks for a legitimate provision, the parent's going to meet those needs. Let me say that again. If a child asks for a legitimate provision, the parent is going to meet those needs. Jesus then makes this comparison. He's saying, if a parent who's obviously flawed like you and I are with sin, if even being flawed we can give good things to our children, what more will a perfect loving God give to you when you ask him for your needs? Wow. So much more. Friends, we begin our asking with this trust factor. We're trusting God. God's not going to mock you for what you're asking him. He's not going to trick you by giving something that looks like the real thing, but it's not really it. That could potentially harm you or kill you. He's not going to do that. Out of his sheer goodness, out of his sheer love for you and me, he's going to meet all your needs. That doesn't mean he's going to meet all of your greeds. He's not going to give you everything you want, but he's going to give you everything that you need, even if it's not how you think it looks like it should be. So we need to ask, we need to seek, we need to knock, and we need to believe that he's going to answer and hear us. That's the first factor. There are two others. The second is this, it's the daily factor. The daily factor. It's important for us to notice the fact that Jesus gives, says here, give us today our daily bread. Daily. Interestingly, the word daily is the only adjective, the only descriptive word used in the whole Lord's Prayer. He didn't use any others, only there. Obviously, Jesus is adding that for a purpose, for a reason. That detail's there to mean something. He's telling us that we need to pray for daily, the daily essentials in our life. He emphasizes this just a little further down in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 33, where he says, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall I eat? Or what shall I drink? Or what shall I wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your Father, Heavenly Father, knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." We need to focus on our request on today's needs. If we're trusting God for his will, then we don't have to worry about what's going to be happening down the road from now. We simply need to give God today and trust that he's got tomorrow covered as well. I don't need to know how he's going to handle tomorrow's issues in my life right now, do I? But you know what? I need God to get me through the moment. I need him to get me through today. Does that make sense? Once again, Jesus' audience at the Sermon on the Mount, you know, they would have quickly connected to Jesus' reference here of praying for daily bread, because their minds quickly would have gone back to the wilderness story of their ancestors who'd been in the wilderness for 40 years. And when they grew hungry, how did they daily depend on God? How did God daily feed them? He gave them daily manna, bread from heaven. Every day, that's how he fed them. You can read about this in Exodus chapter 16. God provided manna, daily bread, for the Israelites. They weren't allowed to keep any extra for the next day. They couldn't eat it and then try to store some, thinking they would need it tomorrow. If they did, it would be spoiled. There'd be maggots in it the next day. That sounds pretty appetizing, doesn't it? They ate to their fill, and they had to let the rest go, trusting that God would supply daily bread tomorrow, and daily bread the next day, and daily bread the day after that, and he always did. Through this daily provision, God was teaching the Israelites. He was teaching them that they could trust him enough to follow him every day of their lives. They didn't have to worry, because every single day God's going to provide for them what they need on that day. That's such an important lesson to learn for you and me, and it's what Jesus is teaching us in the Lord's Prayer. He's saying, ask about today. Trust me for your daily needs, and don't worry about the other needs that come down the road. Now, does that mean we're never supposed to pray about anything in the future? No, it doesn't mean that. It's appropriate for us to pray for future things, but there's a big difference about praying for the future and worrying about the future, isn't there? Letting it kind of overtake you. You're constantly worried about what's going to happen next. There's a big difference there. If God's going to take care of your daily needs, you know what? That wipes out your worry for the future. If we know he's taking care of us today, then guess what? He's got your tomorrow covered. You don't have to worry about it. So I'm going to focus my prayers on depending on God today. Yet it's okay to lift up future prayer requests. Caroline and I pray for our kids' future. We're already praying for whoever their spouse is going to be. But you know what? We don't just pray for our spouses then. We pray for them where they're at today. And Caroline's much better at this than I am. And I've learned it from her, actually. But we pray for them today. We pray for whoever their spouses are going to be and where they're being raised at today. We pray that they're being raised in godly homes, and that they're being raised to live like Jesus right now, wherever they're at in this world. And we're also praying for our kids in a daily way, that God's developing them in a Christ-like character so that they'll become the man of God they need to be and the women of God that they need to be someday. But we pray for them today, not then, right now as God's building them. When God gave the Israelites manna from heaven, he was teaching them a daily dependence on him. And friends, that's what he wants for us, and that's what we need from him today. Jesus teaches the very same thing in the Lord's Prayer. We need to daily depend on God, minute by minute, moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day. There's another thing that Jesus is teaching us when he tells us to pray for daily bread. He's teaching, if we're going to pray daily for bread, he's teaching us a daily habit of prayer. You can't pray for daily bread if you don't pray daily, right? So he's teaching us this habit to pray daily. Far too often, we just get so busy in life, we see a busy day, so we hop right into it, and we go through that day, and we let the worries build. We let the worries build for tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and we've never stopped to pray about today. He's saying daily do it. Have this daily routine of prayer, and you can bring him today before it happens. He's teaching us a daily habit. You know, in today's economy, this daily factor is really vital. If a person sees their retirement dwindling to pennies in the stock market, or if your job is here today but you're not sure it's going to be there next week, or if you've sent out 50 resumes to 50 places that you know aren't hiring but you're really hoping they will next week, if you get too caught up in all of those kind of things, what happens is you're tempted to be enveloped in the worry of tomorrow. Well, friends, today's got enough worry for itself. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. God, I'm trusting you for today, asking you for my daily bread, letting go of my worry for tomorrow, knowing that you've got that too. That's the first, or the second factor. So first we trust. Second, we give daily prayer. And third is the hour factor, O-U-R, the hour factor. Listen to me as I read the beginning of the Lord's Prayer to you again, see if I get this right. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done as earth as it is in heaven. And are you ready? Here's today's part, okay? Give me today my daily bread. Did I get it right? I didn't get it right, did I? It's not give me today my daily bread. It's important that we realize that this asking thing, it's not just for me. This is an us deal. Jesus teaches us the words us and our, not me and my. Give us today our daily bread. This is a community thing. This is a church body thing that we're a part of in our prayers. We're joining together in our prayers. That's one of the real blessings in our Thursday morning prayer groups. At 6:45 every Thursday morning, except for when the weather's been really stinky. We meet at 6:45, and there's just a small group of us. But the beautiful thing, the great thing is we don't sit there and pray for me, pray for ourselves. We use that time to pray for you. We're praying for our church body. We pray for those that we know are facing different health concerns and different life concerns. We pray for God's provision for us as a church. We pray for the daily needs of our church. And you know what? In our church family, you know what? That is a great privilege that we have. Such a beautiful privilege to do that. Others in the church do that through our email prayer chain. Lois Murray sends out the prayer requests as she gets them on this prayer chain, and we stop wherever we're at on our computer or our phone or our tablet, whatever it is. We stop right there, and we pray. And you know what? That is a great privilege. And if you're not on the email prayer chain, you would like to be. It's real simple. Just call the church office during the week. Talk to Janet. Give her your email address. She'll get it to Lois Murray. She'll put you on the prayer chain. Or you can call Lois Murray yourself and do that. And you can receive those requests, and you can stop and pray for our daily bread. Some of you take home the prayer sheets on the back information table, the Prayer Works prayer sheets, and you take those home to pray for the daily needs of those who are homebound or those who are sick or in the hospital or have other needs. And that too is a great privilege. When we do those things, we're praying, give us today our daily bread, right? We also have the privilege to pray for the daily bread of the needs of others in our community. And not just our community, but in the world. You know, the problem in our world isn't that there's not enough resources to go around. There's enough resources for everyone. There's plenty. The problem is that the plenty isn't being shared where it needs to. It's the distribution of the plenty that's the problem. We can be a part of answering others' prayers to God for their daily bread. I've not heard any recent accounts of God dropping manna from heaven anywhere in this world anymore. And do you know why? It's because you and I are supposed to be the manna. We now supply the daily bread for others. That's our job to do that all through this world. At the end of this month, on Sunday, March 30th, we have the opportunity to give a special offering that we call One Great Hour of Sharing. And it's an offering that goes to the United Methodist Committee on Relief. We know that as UMCOR. It's a ministry that provides daily bread globally. It supplies roofs over people's heads, food on tables, health care for those that need it, opportunities for education, and it helps people find jobs. When there are hurricanes and the flood waters, UMCOR is there, friends. Their boots are some of the first ones on the ground when there are world tragedies and needs that go on. And this special offering that we're taking on March 30th, it's to help supply for the business, the office kind of needs for UMCOR, so that every other dollar that they get can go directly to the needs of people around the world. Our mission team that just went to Sager Brown is a distribution center for UMCOR, and they were able to be a part of packing some of the relief packets and the buckets to help support others. Compassion International and World Vision. We have brochures for World Vision on our back table. Those are two other ministries that allow you to be manna, to be bread to this world, to give food, clothing, education to children who are in underprivileged countries. Samaritan's Purse, the ministry of Franklin Graham that we do Operation Christmas Child through, they do the same thing, providing relief around this world, another place that you and I can be daily bread. Friends, not only can we pray for the daily bread of others, but we can be the answer to others' people's prayer for daily bread by helping to provide for those resources, horses, and ministries. You see, as we look at the components and this component of the Lord's Prayer, praying for daily bread is, we learn that it's much more than giving God some sort of to-do list. I've heard praying to God being like a Santa Claus list. We give God this list of things that we need. You know what? That's appalling. That is simply appalling. When we learn from Jesus, what we learn in the Lord's Prayer is that we humbly, in our own conscience, become conscious of our daily needs, and we humbly bring them to God. We pursue His will, and we knock and we persevere as we ask for daily bread for ourselves and for others. Now, friends, I believe that there are many needs among us this morning that God is ready to meet. I believe that we're a community, and we need to come as a community and bring those prayers before God. So here's what I want us to do today. In a moment, we're going to close in the Lord's Prayer, as we've done the last couple weeks, really praying the Lord's Prayer. And then we're going to move into a time of communion, and I promise I'm going to sanitize my hands like crazy, and I won't personally touch the stuff that you're going to have. I'll use a cloth in between me. But we're going to have communion, and what I want you to do in that time, you'll come forward, and we celebrate open communion. You don't have to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion here. Just if you seek to follow Jesus, as you come forward, I want to invite you to bring those prayer concerns you have to God. Those daily needs that you have. If you want to stop and pray along the platform and kneel, you can, or stand somewhere, or find a place. I was going to offer to pray with you, but I don't think you want me in your face. So if you need somebody else to pray with you, just ask somebody near you to pray with you. But bring those daily concerns you have to God in prayer. And friends, if you just don't have anything coming to your mind right now for you, that's fine. Look around you and pray for others. Pray for the needs of those around you, because when Dr. Heaston came into my office and said, I have no prayer concerns, a week later, he's on the top of our list. So somebody next to you who may not need it today may need it tomorrow. And you can be praying for them, for their needs. So I invite you, when we take our communion, to come forward and do that. Or if you want to go back to your seat and make that your altar and pray there, do that. But bring your requests before God. Now, can you take the hand of your neighbor? Since this is our daily bread, and they won't bite you. You can wash it later if you want to. But take your neighbor's hand as we pray together our Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. It just couldn't be more appropriate, and we didn't even plan it this way. Mike came into my office this week and he said, do you realize we're talking about daily bread on the day that we have communion? I said, man, God is such a better strategist than I am. His strategy is always better than mine. As we receive the bread today and the cup, friends, this is daily bread. He offers it to us every day. His forgiveness is new for you every morning. It's fresh every day. It's never a one-time thing. You can receive him over and over and over again. So as you take this bread, the bread that gives everlasting life, his body broken for you. And as you receive this blood, that cup, this juice that's been shed for you, know that it brings life as you commune with him. I invite those forward who are going to help in serving today. Let's pray together for a moment. Dear God, we thank you for your body broken and your blood that's been shed for us. Not a single one of us deserves it. It just reminds you us of your provision for us, God. When we were broken and apart from you, you sent your son to be broken and die for us so that we could again reunite. We could come to you and pray in this kind of way. We daily need you, God. And this morning as we receive this bread, we dip it into the juice and we take it into ourselves. God, let us know that you're just daily with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. They're going to move to the corners and I invite you forward to come and receive. Tear a good size of Jesus off. We need a lot of them. Take a piece of bread and dip it in the juice and receive it. Friends, as we leave today, know that God has got your day. Go with the assurance that he'll meet your daily need. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. Put it away. Trust him today. Can you do that? Let's go in the name of Jesus and let's pray for our daily need next Sunday that there'll be no snow. So we can all be together again. But we'll trust God through all that too. So we just will take the days he gives us. Let's go in the name of Jesus. I'm going to stay away from you, so please be dismissed.